Fresh Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 68th edition of Festival de Cannes, and today I'm in company of Radu Muntean, director of One Floor Below, screening here in the Uncertain Regard section. So Radu, what was the starting point, the idea behind the film?
No, the starting point was actually something that I read in a newspaper a long time ago, like 15, 17 years, about a neighbor who heard something, a quarrel from a door, and didn't do anything. Actually, he was inside, and the quarrel was in another apartment, but was loud enough for him to hear. And I was wondering if that guy would do something, a noise or something like that. Maybe he would stop that thing happen. And then I wrote a synopsis there, but it was really different, and I forgot about the. This idea, and then I met this Patrașcu guy. It's a real life character. He's dealing with this kind of paperwork, car registration, middleman thing, and I thought it's interesting to put this type of character, very very much in control guy, multitasking and juggling with two or three clients at a time, to put him in a difficult situation that he's not controlling anymore. It's a different kind of information that he's having, and he don't know exactly how to deal with it. So that was the mixture that was at the starting point of the film.
What do you think are the reasons why Patrașcu doesn't tell the police what he saw, what he noticed?
I think Patrașcu doesn't want to get involved. Feels like it's not his business. He knows this guy is a guy who was in his place, helping him with the internet router, whatever. He knows he's not his friend, but he knows him. From what he heard, it's an intimate thing. It's something between those two people. This guy is not a serial killer. He's not going to kill every old lady in the block. So he feels like he's not his job. He doesn't control all, and he's a type of guy that he wants to be in charge and want to control all. And when he's not controlling things, he's a bit unsure of himself, and that's why he doesn't want to play God. He doesn't want to throw the stone to put the finger. He prefers to stay out of it. And on the other hand, you know, maybe it's something about the Romanian male type of head of the family. He just doesn't want to show witnesses, weaknesses of any kind. I mean, even that's why he's not telling his wife. He doesn't want to say that, okay, I listened to the girl from the first floor door. Or maybe if I would do something, I would have prevented this murder. So there's a lot of small things that, for me, I think that makes this decision not to tell to the police.
Another strong point of the film, it's also difficult to blame him some way. I mean, we can also think that he's doing that to protect his family. So it forces us to the inevitable question: what would you do
in his shoes? This is actually what I wanted. I mean, I'm not judging Patrașcu, and I don't want people to judge him. I just want people to question themselves, to question their judgment in a similar situation, because we all know what society wants from us. To be there, to be correct, to tell the police everything we know and whatever. But yeah, I don't know if we are put in this kind of situation with all this information that we have. I don't know I don't know exactly what I would do in this particular situation, but I am questioning myself. And I think this is, for me, this is the most important thing. Just to not take for granted these notions that are becoming very abstract for us. Morality, conscience.
Why did you decide to use the boys talking in his sleep at the end of the film to reveal sort of the real Patrascu's guilt?
I think throughout the film there's a lot of personification of, if you want, of Patrașcu's conscience. And the most powerful one is the killer, actually, who is acting like his conscience. Never leave him, pushing him, like pulling his shirt. Man, you have to say what you saw. You have to act in a way, react in a way. And one of these, it's the kid. It's towards the end of the film. It's when he say Patrașcu, which is also his family name. But for the viewer, it might be like a voice of conscience. And you will, I mean, for me, I know that a lot of people say that it's an open ending, but it's an open ending for another kind of film. I mean, for me, this is the end where they are still neighbors, but they are not going to the police, either of them, and they are going to stay with this burden, with their own conscience. I mean, you can escape from the society's judgment, but you cannot escape your own conscience, and you have to judge yourself. This is the idea, and for me, this is the end of the film. I had nothing more else to say.
And what about the women in the film?
I think that the wife of Patrașcu, she's a very direct woman. I think she is, in a way, the equilibrium in the family. She wants to keep the equilibrium. She's not weak. She's not. I think she's there when she thinks something is wrong with the way he acts. He's telling him all the time in a very direct way. I don't think she's a victim or she's a. And the other girl as well. She may, from what we heard from the apartment, she maybe wants to put an end of a relationship, and the other guy who's very jealous and he wants to hang on to this relationship. I don't see her as a victim. I mean, it's a victim of circumstances, but it's not a, her character is not a like a victim. But this film is about, especially about two men. What can I do?
So you wrote the film with Alexandru Baciu and Radvan Radulescu, with whom you worked before.
Yeah, we were doing together, and we already started the fifth script. So,
tell us more about this collaboration.
Yeah, well, we are good friends, and we work really well together. I mean, we have the same kind of taste in movies, and we really love the process of developing the ideas. This is the most important. I mean, we always work like that. I have the idea of the film. I have to know what I want to do, and I share with them, and then we discuss it for, like, say, 2 or 3 weeks until we have a treatment or not. Because 1 month ago we tried to make another film, and it didn't work, and we find out that it's not working. It's not our kind of story, even if it looked good on the first look, and we decide to change it. And now I have another idea, and we are working on this idea. And after we finish the treatment, the scenes, we split it in three. Each of us is writing his own part, and then we discuss each other's parts, and we glue it together in another 2 or 3 weeks. And it's working.
And was it a tight script, or you gave some room for improvisation while shooting?
No, almost everything was scripted. Just two or three scenes, I just wrote them just before rehearsing. But at the rehearsing, at the shooting, it was the same. I tend to be very precise. I work a lot. I do a lot of commercials. I work a lot in advertising, and maybe because of this, I tend to be. And if you want to shoot long scenes, you have to be precise. Otherwise, everybody has to know exactly the way the camera moves and the character inside of the locations. And you have to be precise. Otherwise, it's things may happen and may not. So it's not improvised. It's a lot of rehearsals, and rehearsals with a camera, rehearsals in a real location. But of course, I always want to leave something for the shooting, because otherwise, and it's really painful, you end up with better rehearsals than the shooting.
Since this is also the story of two men, did you decide from the beginning that you wanted to portray everything from Patrasco's point of view?
Yes. For me, Patrasco is the main character, and he's the... I'm interested in what's happening inside of him. How is he dealing with this story and about his dilemmas? That was mainly... Of course, Vali is very important, but just in a way to balance the main character. He's working like his own conscience, as I said.
Your work has been described many times as minimalistic. I don't know what you think about that.
I want to be as invisible as I can be. I just as the middleman between the viewer and the character. I want the people to live in the same time with the character. That's why I shot in so long takes, and I don't want to cut. I don't want to be present. Of course, I'm manipulating things, but in a not so obvious way. I just want people to work a little bit when they see the film, just to put their make their own stories, put together their pieces of the puzzle.
How did you direct Theodore Corban? Which instructions did you give him to understand and elaborate his character?
I always like to work with intelligent actors. I don't want to puppet the actors on the stage. And the first layer is I want them to understand exactly why the character is doing this or that and how he feels about this or that. And I did this from the very first casting preparations, and then the rehearsal we talk a lot. And in this way, and if you're shooting chronologically as I shot most of the time, he start to understand where is exactly the character. So in this, let's say, long shots when he's thinking about something else, you can, and he's a really good actor, and you can feel the texture on his face and in his eyes. I mean, you can understand then what's inside him. It's very transparent, but he understood because I explained him a lot, we talked a lot, and then we just worked on the small details, technical details, a look, a gesture, and so on.
Can you tell us more about the next film project you're working on?
Yeah, it's just starting. I mean, we are just at the beginning of the process. It's a film about a family who adopted a girl, thinking that they are not they cannot do their own kids, but then by accident they managed to make their own kid, and there are some problems. It's mostly about how you react when you're not happy with the way your kid is growing.
Thank you, Rado Muntean, for being here with us on Fred Film Radio. This is Chiara Nicoletti from the 68th Festival de Cannes for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.